This morning we looked at 16 verses of Ecclesiastes 2, and we're going to go back through those verses a little bit and add a couple more to them. If I can find that book in the Bible, there it is. Ecclesiastes chapter number 2. This morning we looked at a disease that afflicted Solomon, and we looked at Solomon's heart disease. For those that may have been out serving or somewhere else this morning, we talked about the fact that Solomon gave his heart to three things and found them all to be empty. And by the way, they're the exact same three things that we find ourselves, if we're not careful, and all those around us giving their hearts to here in 2017. And we studied through the first 16 verses where Solomon gave his heart to pleasure, and he said it's vanity. He gave his heart to possessions, verses, I think it's 4 through 11, and he said it's vanity. And then he gave his heart to power, pleasure, possessions, and power, and he found all of those to be terrible purposes for living. And we looked then at what's the cure to Solomon's heart disease. We said this morning is diet and exercise, feeding on the right things and using our energy to serve, and rather than hoarding possessions, seeking to give, rather than seeking power, seeking to serve, rather than living for our pleasure, living for his. And so if you were out serving, or for whatever reason you weren't here this morning, I think somewhere this week, if you'd like to jump on and catch up on the series, the audio should be archived. And tonight we're gonna go back through some of the same verses. Some of you, if you were to be honest right now, you're a little scared because I haven't even started preaching. It's already 6 o'clock, and normally we're getting close to invitation time. I got a text message. I was working on my came in early to the office one day this week, and Brother Sammy was there as well. And I got this text message from Brother Sammy. It said, "I need that chorizo egg bagel from Starbucks in my life right now. What's good?" And that means like, hey, let's go get Starbucks. I think he really wanted me to buy it, which is why he was inviting me. You know, you gotta. And I sent him a text back, "Go for it. I'm gonna stay and finish up my evening message right now." When you're putting the messages together, I've known where I was heading for a couple weeks here, but you get into kind of, I don't know, every other preacher does, but I get kind of into a zone where I've got all the pieces and then I'm gonna put it all into one in the final. And so I was in that zone where I knew I had about an hour left to get that thing finished up, and I didn't want to break my train of thought. So I said, "Go for it." I said, "I'm gonna finish up my evening message right now." Sammy said, "Sunday night sing. You ain't got to be too long, LOLOL." Because he knew we were going to be singing extra. So then I said, "You sound like my wife." And he said, "She's a wise woman." So I won't need to be too long tonight. And my message actually is a little shorter than normal tonight. And a few simple thoughts for us as we go through these verses. But we're going to identify together a second disease that afflicted King Solomon. This morning we saw that disease of that heart disease. He gave his heart to these things. And over again in chapters 1 and 2, you see Solomon said, "I gave my heart, I said in mine heart, I sought in mine heart." He gave his heart to the wrong things. And so vital what we give our hearts to. And we're going to travel back through those same verses through this morning. And I want you to see if you can identify the disease that we find in Solomon tonight so that we might be able to diagnose it in our own lives and eradicate it from our lives. Beginning in verse number 1, chapter number 2, I'll read, you follow along. We're going to go through these verses, then I'm going to pull out just a couple things in the four verses that we didn't cover this morning, and we'll be on our way. But I want you to follow this along and see if you can identify not the heart disease, but the second disease tonight. Solomon said in chapter 2, verse 1, "I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees." Verse 7, Ecclesiastes 2. "I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts." Verse 9. "So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun, verse 12. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath already been done. Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. We saw this morning, verse 15. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As the fool. Verse 17, we didn't look at these verses this morning. Follow along for four more verses, please. In verse 17, therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise unto the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. Do you see it in there? This morning was heart disease. Anybody see what the disease is tonight? It's what? Eye disease. This morning was Solomon's heart disease. Tonight we see Solomon's eye disease. And we see Solomon, it's interesting here, the word I in those 20 verses is found, I counted 34 times. The word me is found 14 times. The word my is found 13 times. The word mine is found 4 times. The word myself is found 4 times. In 20 verses, Solomon referenced himself 69 times. And there's another place where he speaks about himself in whatever person that would be, I guess the third, second, fourth, whatever. He says to himself, thee, where he's talking about himself, you could say 70 times in 20 verses, he's talking about himself, and you've heard it said before that a person wrapped up in themselves makes for a very small package. And Solomon was afflicted not only with heart disease, seeking after the wrong things, but with, if you will, eye disease, where he was wrapped up in me, my, I, myself, what I wanted, what I saw, what I could achieve, where I could go, my life, my pleasure, my mirth, my folly, my madness, my wisdom, my power, my pleasure, my position, my possessions. And I want you to see, and we looked through 1 through 16 this morning. We only have to make it through 4 verses tonight, 17 through 20, but I want you to see what eye disease leads to. Eye disease, 4 things that it leads to. Number 1, in verse number 17, eye disease leads to an empty life. Do you see it there in verse number 17? Would you read the first 4 words aloud with me, nice and loud? Ecclesiastes 2, verse 17, the first 4 words. Ready? Begin. Therefore, I hated life. I hated life. My life was empty. It says vanity over and over and over again. That comes from that Hebrew word, which literally means meaningless, empty, futile, worthless. It's vanity, it's meaningless, and not only is it vanity, we saw last Sunday night, but it's also vexation of spirit. Not only is this life lived for myself of no value, it's of negative value. It's vanity and vexation of spirit, a life lived for myself. Always, eye disease always leads to an empty life, a life that we look back and say, what did I accomplish? How was I used? What life did I impact? What was my life all about, really? Was that what it was about? Was getting that college degree and climbing that corporate ladder and buying that car and living in that house? That's what my 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years amounted to? It's empty. It's therefore I hated life. Why? Because I sought after pleasure and power and possessions. I sought after what I wanted. It's counterintuitive because we think that as we live to meet our own needs and make ourselves happy, our lives will be better. We find the absolutely the opposite is true with Jesus Christ. As we live to love him and love others, that's when we find true joy and true meaning and true fulfillment. We think as I'm served, then I'll be happy. We find as I serve, then I find joy. We think if my life had all of the comfort, then everything would be good. Teenagers, if we're not careful, as they're growing up, they view their careers and it's all about what's going to make me happy or what do I like and what can I, if I go into that profession, I could make a whole lot of money. And we get the wrong idea of what life is all about. And if we're not careful, that eye disease will lead us to where we come to the place and say, therefore, I hated life. My life's empty. There's no value. There's no purpose. Why? Because I was living for the wrong person. Instead of living for him and them, I was living for me. And it leads to an empty life. The more that we live for ourselves, we find the worse our life gets. Although we think the more we live for ourselves, the better our lives are going to get. Verse 17, it leads to an empty life. Verse 18, it leads to, secondly, empty labor. Notice what he says. He says, yea, I hated all my labor, which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. It leads to empty labor. He said, I did all this work for what? To leave it to somebody? I don't even know how they're going to use it. I'm going to leave him all this stuff and he might waste it. He might be a fool. He might not use it the way I want it to be used. And I worked all this time to amass all this wealth, to get all this stuff. And why? For what? I can't do any, I can't use all of this stuff. And now what? I just leave it behind. And he said, therefore, I hated my life. Yea, I hated all my labor. But why? Does that mean we all have to hate our work? Is that what the Bible's teaching? Absolutely not. But we have to understand why it is we're working. I mentioned this last night. It's not about where you get your paycheck from. It's not only a few people that get their paycheck from the church, that their work, their vocation matters and everybody else does. I told you last week that there have been pastors that get their paycheck from the church that are wasting their lives and their vocation doesn't matter because they're not doing it for the right reasons and for the right person and for the right purpose. They're doing it for their own gain and their own glory, and that is going to waste away and that will not last in eternity. It doesn't matter where you get your paycheck from in your vocation. It matters who you do it for. My work does not matter if it's not done for the good of others. Again, I mentioned this, we talk to teenagers about plans after graduation sometimes, and I've had the privilege to preach from time to time, maybe at a youth rally or a high school chapel or a teen camp or something here or there, and you'll talk to teenagers and what do you, you know, say, do you have plans after graduation? And very often, here's what they'll say. Well, I've always wanted to. Well, I've always been interested in. Well, I've always liked, what is that? That's eye disease. Instead of, well, I believe God is leading me into, I believe God would have me study. I believe God wants me to use this vocation for his glory. I believe that God is directing me to this college. Instead of, I think that this is where, well, I've always wanted to. Well, I have some openings. I have some connections that I could get into this business if I go into this. And by the way, I'm not just hitting on teenagers right now or being unkind to teenagers. For all of us, be careful that it's not, well, where does God want you to live? Well, I've always wanted to live in Orange County. Well, I've always wanted to live in the South. Well, I've always wanted to have this job. Let's be careful about that eye disease. Where does God want us and what does God want us doing? A career lived for self will always lead to emptiness. It's not what I want or I like, but rather what does God want? How can God use this career for his glory? How can I build relationships through this vocation to impact lives through this calling? How can I meet people to share the love of Christ through this career? And how can I earn money to support the work of God through this career? And how can I be a shining light in my workplace through this career? That is what matters in the work that we do. Because if not, if we just go through the grind, if you will, the rat race, if you will, if we just go Monday through Friday, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, and it's all about I, guess what? We're like Solomon, we're going to get to the end and say, yay, I hated my labor. Eye disease leads to an empty life. It leads to empty labor. Number three, can you believe that? I told you it didn't have to be long. I'm more than halfway done. Verse 19. We've looked at 17, 18, 19. It leads to an empty future. And who knoweth, he says, whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all of my labor wherein I have labored and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Solomon said, I looked at how this world works and it leads, living for self leads to an empty future. I'm going to look and say, what's going to happen to my stuff? Somebody's going to use it all. Someone's going to take it all. Someone's going to spend it all. And I don't know who they are. I was the one that worked hard. I was the one that was wise. I was the one that built all of this. Now, by the way, it was God that gave him the power to do it. But Solomon's talking very selfishly. I did all this, and my future, not only did it lead to an empty life, and not only did it lead to empty labor, but it leads to an empty future. I don't know what's going to happen to all this stuff. And it's a waste. He said, it's all vanity. I did all this for what? For somebody I don't even know? Instead of using what he had for God's glory, for the good of others, to impact other people, he said, I. And his eye disease led him to, I hated life. I hated labor. I have an empty future. Is my work going to matter? I would say this, a life lived for God and others always has eternal value. The Bible uses the illustration that in the final analysis of hay and stubble or precious stones, it says there's going to come a time when our works are tried by fire, and the things that we do for I is hay and stubble, and very quickly, like the wildfires in California and the wildfires across our country, very quickly that work that was done for self is going to be burnt up, it says, hay and stubble, but there is that work that is the precious stone, that work that was dedicated to God. God, I did this for your glory and for the good of others. I did this to impact other people and to help others and to make a difference for the cause of Christ. That work, the Bible says, is going to be like precious stone. It will get more pure and better and more valuable through the fire, while our works of hay and stubble. And so there doesn't have to be an empty future. A life lived for the right things leads to a fulfilled future, but our works will be judged. And if we've only lived for self, we have an empty future ahead of us. But if we stay away from eye disease, we have a bright future of joys and rewards and blessings and what the Bible says, crowns that the selfish life will never know of. The Bible says as we get to heaven, if we live for the right reasons and do the right things, there are some crowns that we will earn and that we will gain that God will give to us at that day that we can give back to him and praise him for allowing us. And there's a life with significance and there's a future that isn't empty. But any time our lives get wrapped up, will our pleasure, will our possession, will this make more sense for us financially? Forget about all that stuff. What does God want to do through your life? I look at Tom and Anna Chapman, and Tom, a successful business leader in our church, runs his own business, but God had been working on his heart since a teenage boy. Actually, he showed me the letter where he surrendered to the mission field as a teenage boy, and God divinely directed and detoured and rerouted his, and maybe, I haven't talked about this, maybe there was a time where he had a little eye disease. I know I've had it in my life at times, but about a year ago at missions conference, Tom said, you know what, God wants us to leave all of that, and Tom had the beautiful custom BMW, and God wants us to leave all that to go to China to serve as missionaries. What did he say? And I'm not saying for your life to matter, you have to go to China. I'm saying for your life to matter, it can't be lived for yourself. And there's a couple that's stepping out by faith with their 3, soon possibly to be 4, adopted children that they've welcomed into their family that says, we're willing to leave all of this, and had a pretty comfortable life here and was doing it. He could have justified doing a good work here. A teacher of the largest adult Sunday school class in our church. And hey, I'm making a difference and I'm doing that. But he knew God was leading him elsewhere. His mind and human wisdom would have had him stay here. But let's not live with that eye disease. No, I don't want an empty future. I want to follow God, whatever he has for me. And then lastly, verse number 20, it leads to an empty heart. He said in verse 20, therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. It leads to an empty life. It leads to empty labor. It leads to an empty future. And it leads to an empty heart. So what's the cure? It's very simple. Less I and more him. Less me and more them. Less my and more ours. Less fun and more faith. Less pleasure and more service. Take inventory of our words, of our finances, of our schedules, of our activities, of our spiritual involvement. May I ask you, church, and we're almost done, how much is I in your life and in my life, and how much is he must increase, I must decrease? How much of our schedules is I and how much is him? How much of our finances is I and how much is him? How much of our daily activities and weekly activities is I and how much is him and them? loving God and loving others, worshiping God and sharing the love of Christ with others. I would say, as the pastor of the church, probably the reason I feel so passionate about this, and probably the reason that this has been our church theme, upward and outward, and probably the reason that we're going through Ecclesiastes verse by verse, is because far too often my life is way too much I, and way too much me, and way too much my, and way too much mine, and myself, and my family, and our pleasure, and far not enough of him, and of them, and of sharing Christ, and of loving people, and of praying for them, and meeting needs, and dropping off groceries, and making a hospital visit, and telling somebody of Christ, and going out to invite somebody to come to church. Far too often, I get wrapped up, I get afflicted with eye disease. Let's take inventory. How much is I, and how much is he must increase, but I must decrease? How much is what can I get, and how much is what can I give? We choose churches now for what they can offer me. Well, I like their music. Well, they have cool programs for singles. Well, they have a great playground for our kids. Be careful. We can even spiritualize our eye disease. And we choose a church based on what they can offer me. Our church experience isn't about us being entertained or what the church can offer me. Our church membership, if you will, is about us growing in grace, being equipped by the Word of God, and then serving the church and those outside the church in every way that we can. Moms and dads, how are families doing with eye disease? Is everything for our kids about them having fun and them being signed up for every tutor and every lesson and every sport and every activity? Is there any service in their lives, or are we genetically passing down eye disease in the spiritual bloodstream of our families? It's one reason we have that teen's missions trip to Tijuana for 3 nights. Well, pastor, is it really safe for me to send my kids over to Tijuana? I'm not saying, if you don't send your kids, that's between you and your husband and your family. You can decide what you're going to do, but is it really safe? I don't know. Let's go ask the missionary that was from Orange County that raised his entire family there for the last 25 years. I think he's doing all right. Now his adult kids and grandkids are now serving the Lord there. Is it really safe? I don't know if that's a safe environment for my kids. I will tell you this. It's a far more safe spiritual environment for my 3 children to be learning from a missionary and seeing a children's home and helping with the youth activity and running a bus route in Tijuana than it is for them to be in their rooms with a smartphone or the internet or going on Netflix or texting friends. It's a much more spiritually safe environment over there across the border with a missionary in Tijuana than it is all the things that we're not so worried about. And I know I've gone from preaching to meddling right now, but we need to be careful. We're so worried, even in our families, about eye disease. What about them disease? What about him? What about service? What about worship? An empty life, empty labor, an empty future, and an empty heart. This morning, Solomon's heart disease, diet and exercise. Tonight, Solomon's eye disease. All the eyes, 70 times. And what did it lead to? Therefore, I hated life. Yea, I hated my labor. I looked at my future. What's it worth? I looked at those things. My heart despaired, an empty future and an empty heart. God, I thank you for your word. Thank you for these thoughts. I pray you'd use them in our hearts. God, is whether we're single, whether we're married, whether we're retired, we're in the middle of our work, we're college students, whatever the case may be, dear God, just like Solomon constantly pulling at us is that eye disease. And I pray that, dear God, you would help all of us, dear God, to see the danger of a spiritual eye disease in our lives. And dear God, instead of focusing on us and me and my pleasure and my family getting ahead and this or that, dear God, help us to focus on pleasing you and serving others. Help us, dear God. I pray that through this study in Ecclesiastes, you'd remind us of the importance of lives lived upward and outward. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. We'll stand together. The piano plays. We'll have a brief time where you can spend some time. Maybe families, you want to pray together. Maybe you look at your schedule and you say, you know what? It's a whole lot of I and not a whole lot of them. Maybe we need to get more involved in service in some way. Helping others. Praying. Husbands, wives, maybe you want to pray together. Single folks, right there at your seat. Let's just spend a moment in prayer and ask God to help us to be cured of heart disease and eye disease. Lord, I thank you for the time in your house. God, I know the preaching time has been short and direct, but I pray that you would use it for all of us. Help us to learn from Solomon 3,000 years later that we don't follow the same path. God, my prayer is that I won't come into the end of my life and say, therefore, I hated my life. My prayer is that my children will understand that life is not about getting. It's about giving. Life is not about being served. It's about serving. My prayer is that every family under the leadership of spiritual authority of this church, dear God, would see the same things from the truths of Scripture, that we would find true joy comes from loving, from helping, from giving, from being at a missions conference, from going out on a bus route, from going to tell our neighbors, to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, to helping somebody that's hurting, to sending an email. Help us to understand that that is where we're going to find the true fulfillment in life. God, I'm afflicted often with that same heart disease Solomon was. Cure me from it, dear God, with diet and exercise. And God, so often my life and my family becomes all about me. Help me, dear God, to keep my eyes on you, the author and finisher of our faith. And dear God, keep my eyes on who you want us to help in our daily lives. Help me this week, dear God, to please you, to obey every spiritual impulse. I thank you for the singing, for all that we've heard and experienced today in your house. I pray now as we dismiss that you would dismiss us with your care and your love, and help us to please you this week, I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.